Lions.
I'm sorry, Senator Cole. Why would you be concerned about Dodo having a tool that would enable us to make more informed choices, as opposed to just winging it?
Cole.
When you just wing it, you are aware of the risk and the uncertainty, and inclined to be more cautious. When you have a high-tech tool giving you an illusion of omniscience, well, I am concerned that it will lead to greater risk-taking.
Lions.
I would argue that more information is always better. I would make an analogy to using computers to predict the weather. Back in the days when all we had was a weather vane and a barometer, a ship's captain had to make his best judgment about what the weather was going to do and trust his gut. Now that we have weather satellites and computerized forecasts, the captain can make informed decisions.
Cole.
It is an attractive analogy, but it's self-serving, since we all know that those satellites and computers actually work most of the time. You're likening the chronotron to familiar technology that we trust. How close is the chronotron, really, to deserving that trust?
Lions.
As of today, about halfway through the crone phase, we have the individual processing units, the KIPUs, or quantum information processing units, running according to spec, and we're developing the manufacturing capability to produce them in larger numbers. By linking just a few of them together, we've been able to achieve more accurate results than the KIPU-like item Erzsébet was using.
Erzsébet Karpaty.
My Samologep, which has now been lost because of the incompetencies and manipulations of this government.
Atkinson.
Ms. Karpaty, you are out of order.
Cole.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Karpaty. We have already noted your remarks on this topic several times.
Karpaty.
My comments have not yielded the results.
Atkinson.
Order. Order.
Redacted. Next day. Senator Effingham.
Moving on to line 539 of the proposed budget, unless my eyes deceive me, you wish to allocate 12 full-time positions to historians?
Melisande Stokes.
In order for the Chronotron to do its job, it has to have a vast database of historical facts and memory. Going back to the weather analogy from yesterday, you can build a computer that's really good at performing the mathematical calculations needed to predict weather, but it's going to be totally useless unless you can feed it real-time information about actual weather conditions, which is why we need weather balloons and satellites and so on to supply that data. In the case of the Chronotron, we have these KIPUs that know how to do the math, but they're useless without historical data.
Effingham.
I believe we covered this in lines 420 through 487, which describe a program to extract this information directly from digitized history books already in the Library of Congress.
Stokes.
Yes, that covers 90% of it, but some books contain ambiguous material that confuses our natural language processing algorithms. When that happens, the offending passage can be sent up the line to a human reader who can try to parse it. For obvious reasons, we think that historians will do the best job.
Effingham.
Very well, but it appears that their cost is being split with another subprogram called Dork?
Stokes.
We should probably come up with a different name for it, but Dork is the Diachronic Operative Resource Center. Colonel Lyons and I had to improvise our own training program when we learned how to speak, dress, and behave in colonial Boston and Elizabethan England. As Dodo's scope of operations expands to other DTAPs...
Effingham.
Yes, thank you for jogging my memory, Ms. Stokes. Dork is like the Starfleet Academy, if I may indulge myself with a reference to Star Trek.
Stokes.
The Hogwarts.
Effingham.
Yes, the training ground where doers will acquire the requisite skills.
Stokes.
Those budget entries begin around line 950.
Effingham.
Yes, my aide has found it for me.
Stokes.
It makes sense to split the historian's time so that they can help out with dork activities.
Effingham. This is quite a large section of the budget, and I may need additional time to go through it. Redacted. Senator Effingham. Line 1162 jumps out at me. Why do you need to spend so much money on swords? Lyons.
It turns out that they are more expensive than you might think. They have to be handmade from special kinds of steel.
Effingham. You are missing the point of my question, Colonel Lyons. Let me rephrase. This seems to imply that you are assembling a squad of warriors and assassins. Lyons.
Probably not assassins per se, because of the risk of diachronic shear.
Effingham. You can't just go back and kill Napoleon. Lyons.
It would be a terrible idea.
Effingham. Renewing my question. Lyons.
People back then, people of the upper classes, carried swords and other edged weapons all the time, and they knew how to use them. Any doer, at least any male doer, who went back pretending to be such a person, but who had no skill with using a sword, would be as conspicuous as someone who couldn't mount a horse or speak the language.
Effingham. Are you expecting some of your doers to engage in sword fights? Lyons.
I had to do it several times during my deed in London.
Effingham. But that was before you had the Chronotron. It was an improvised deed. Lyons.
Wars, battles, and duels are important events. In some cases, depending on what the Chronotron tells us, we may need doers who are capable of effecting that kind of change, or at a minimum, staying alive in such environments.
Effingham. It sounds dangerous. Lyons.
It is, by definition. Only a small minority of doers will be fighters. They make a big splashy impression in the budget because we have to buy them training equipment.
Effingham. But the majority will have other specializations? Lyons.
Yes. As an example, during the current crone phase, our efforts are focused on making discrete insertions into certain D-taps, trying to develop and nurture our relationship with KCWs.
Effingham. With what? Lyons.
Known compliant witches.
Effingham. Ah, yes. This takes us back to, line 345 or thereabouts. Developing the witch network, the subway map. Lyons.
Yes, like the subway map that tells us how we can route our doers from one D-tap to another and eventually get them home safe. Obviously, this relies on having friendly relationships with witches.
Effingham. Who tend to be, shall we say, peculiar individuals. Carpety.
I find your tone offensive, Senator.
Chairwoman Atkinson.
Order!
Effingham. Go on, Colonel Lyons. Erzabet Carpety.
Are you ignoring me? I said I find your tone offensive. I do not even want to be here. I am here only out of the goodness of my heart. But all of you, all of these millions of dollars and plans to rule the planet and all that, do you understand that all of it depends on me? And yet you use that tone with me. Who do you think you are?
Effingham. It's all right, Madam Chair. Now, Miss Carpety. Carpety.
Don't Miss Carpety me. Apologize for your tone.
Effingham. I apologize, Miss Carpety. Carpety.
I do not accept your apology.
Effingham. Why not? Carpety.
You do not sound at all sincere about it. It does not count if it is not sincere. I am going to leave this room. And I want you to think about what happens if I do not return. Then, when I do return, I expect you will apologize appropriately.
Melisande Stoke.
Tristan Schley.
Lyons.
Yeah.
Atkinson.
Let the record show that Ms. Erzabet Carpety has left the hearing room without authorization at 17:23 hours, accompanied by Dr. Melisande Stokes.
Effingham. Colonel Lyons, you were saying? Lyons.
Erzsébet has just given you an excellent example of why we require very specialized agents to win over witches. They don't want money. They're not the sort to join us on behalf of truth, justice, and the American way. Every witch has her own agenda for why she might or might not help us. So we need to be able to find witches, but then also to win them over. Sometimes that can be a complicated undertaking, involving a series of actions that require various sets of skills.
Effingham, I suspect I'm not the only one in the room who would appreciate an example of what you mean. Lyons.
Okay, recently we wanted to establish a foothold in the Balkans for reasons that General Frink can explain, if you need to know. So we did research to anticipate where a witch was, and then we sent back one of our agents to find the witch. Well, he found her, and she did agree to send him back here. But she wasn't interested in being on call for us, so to speak, unless we made it worth her while. Her husband was imprisoned, so she told our doer that if he could get the husband out of prison, she'd work with us.
Effingham, why didn't she just, you know, use magic to get him out? Lyons.
With respect, magic isn't the same thing as omnipotence, Senator. It's a hereditary skill set, really, that's all. Anyhow, our fellow who we sent back there, his language skills are first rate, and he's a tremendous athlete and good at problem solving. But he's not much of a schmoozer, and he doesn't have the skills that would assist in a jailbreak. So the witch sent him back here, but said she didn't want to hear from Dodo again unless we could get her husband out of jail. If we'd had somebody who specialized in picking locks or was a general escape artist or whatever, we could have sent that person back. We didn't have anyone like that, so we had to try bribing the prison guard, but we did not succeed.
Effingham. Bribe them with what? According to this document, you can't take anything back in time with you. Lyons.
That's correct.
Effingham. So, what did you try to bribe him with? Lyons.
Mel, Dr. Stokes, she went back because she was willing to try bribing him with what she brought with her.
Effingham. Her body? Lyons.
Yes.
Effingham. You're saying she... Redacted. Lieutenant Colonel Lyons.
The utter failure of this effort led us to conclude we needed an actual sex worker, or at least somebody capable of passing as one.
Senator Effingham. I yield, Madam Chairwoman. Chairwoman Atkinson.
I recognize Senator Valeska.
Senator Valeska.
Colonel Lyons, I hope you appreciate that prostitution is illegal in this great country of ours, except in certain rural parts of Nevada.
Lyons.
The prostitute would be plying her trade in 16th century Balkan territory, sir, or possibly his trade, based on Dr. Stokes's reception. Anyhow, we haven't found one yet.
Valeska.
You're saying you want to use taxpayer money to recruit prostitutes?
Lyons.
That's not a typical example, sir. We need people with specific skill sets, like masons and soldiers, and people with specific athletic abilities. And we need people who can blend in. Like I said, schmoozers. Actors. Whatever it takes.
General Frink.
Madam Chairwoman, if I may.
Atkinson.
Proceed.
Frink.
With all due respect, Senator Valeska, it's not like taxpayer money has never been used to hire prostitutes before. I know you're aware of that.
Redacted. Next day. General Frink.
An ongoing theme in the last day's deliberations has been the need for wisdom and discretion in future Dodo operations. Senator Hatcher has reminded us of the need to avoid any future incidents such as the one in which Les Holgate sacrificed his life for his country. Senator Cole has expressed concern that a fully functional chronotron may lead us into taking risks we might not otherwise consider. With Senator Effingham, we've had an illuminating discussion of the importance of learning from the wisdom of experienced professional historians.
Finally, Senator Valeska has spoken with great passion and eloquence
of the need to maintain moral standards that we can all be proud of. It is for all these reasons that I am pleased to introduce Dr. Blevins of Harvard University as the new acting head of the Department of Diachronic Operations. He replaces Lieutenant Colonel Lyons, who is being reassigned to command of Dodo's boots-on-the-ground operational unit, and who will henceforth report to Dr. Blevins. Though the academic world knows Roger Blevins as a peerless scholar, those of us with security clearances are aware of his long service to his country as...
Redacted. Senator Hatcher.
Even for one of your distinguished credentials, this is an important career transition, Dr. Blevins, and so I would like to be the first to congratulate you. Frankly, I am pleased to see that you are being moved off of the advisory board. I myself am on more advisory boards than I can even remember, and not one of them ever asks me for advice.
Dr. Blevins.
I've had similar experiences, Senator, and this is why I took the unusual step of establishing an office within Dodo headquarters in Cambridge and spending time there on a regular basis. I'll now hand that off to Dr. Rudge, who I most certainly will be asking for advice on a regular basis.
Hatcher.
How do you see that facility developing as we transition out of the crone phase? What does it look like in a year? 2 years?
Blevins.
As a very special hybrid of tech startup, liberal arts college, and special forces base. Our present thinking suggests we'll need about a dozen kinds of specialists divided into classes, such as tracker, fighter, entertainer, and so on. All of them will need immersive training in the language and ethos of whatever DTAP they go to. Meaning, we also need to hire people to train them in those things. Manners, customs, how to put on and take off clothes, fighting styles. All of that falls under the heading of the Diachronic Operative Resource Center, whose acting director will be my student, Dr. Melisande Stokes.
Senator Effingham.
The budget and headcount envisioned for DORC are impressive.
Blevins.
The personnel expenses add up as quickly as the technical expenses. That's why the budget is as large as it is. We obviously can't outsource any of these services, given that there is evidence that the governments of...
Redacted.
And...
Redacted.
...are already engaged in this kind of training program. Whoever works for us has to be kept very close to the mothership, as it were, and that kind of loyalty doesn't come cheap.
Effingham.
How do you know that...
Redacted.
...and redacted are ahead of us in this?
Dr. Blevins.
That's classified, Senator, even for the purposes of this hearing.
Effingham.
Be that as it may, I question whether a linguistic student with no management experience is equipped to manage a department of that size.
Dr. Blevins.
Yes. Most of the day-to-day burden of HR, facilities, and so on will fall under the conventional contemporary operations department for which we have been fortunate to recruit a very able manager in Macy Stoll. With those managerial and administrative tasks out of the way, Dr. Stokes will be free to concentrate on the historical and linguistic research that is her specialty.
Hatcher.
Well, I'm in no position to assess the technical requirements and their associated costs. I'll leave that to my honored colleagues on this hearing committee with more expertise in this field, such as Senator Effingham. But having compiled different staffs for different purposes over the years, I certainly feel capable of assessing your personnel hiring goals. So I will be submitting my opinion that the budget you seek is tied into your laying down very clear goals for who exactly you wish to hire and why. That includes reports on all potential witches you'd be working with in other DTAPs. Can you do that for me?
Blevins.
I'll see to it that Dr. Stokes writes up something specific as soon as she has calmed Ms. Carpety.
Hatcher.
Out of curiosity, a curiosity I suspect is shared by other members of this panel, how exactly does one call Ms. Carpety?
Blevins.
It always seems to help to listen to her spend a few uninterrupted minutes besmirching the reputations of certain people, with Colonel Lyons being a particularly frequent target of abuse.
Hatcher. Is it accurate to describe her, then, as a truculent and abusive team member? Lieutenant Colonel Lyons.
If I may, Madam Chair, it is accurate to describe her as the only witch available to us at the present moment. That pretty much trumps any other description.
General Frank.
What Colonel Lyons is trying to say, Senator, is that unlike politicians, her job security does not depend on other people's approval.
Blevins.
Not that General Frink is suggesting there's anything inappropriate about politicians having that dependency.
Frink.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Blevins.
Blevins.
So, to get back to the point, you're asking us to create two things. First, a personnel profile of our most desired hires. We're happy to do that. I can create a template as soon as this hearing is adjourned. Colonel Lyons and Dr. Stokes can help me out as their schedules allow. Second, a template for recording how we determine who to approach as a potential KCW.
Hatcher. That works for me. I yield the floor to my colleagues for further questions. From Lieutenant General Octavian K. Frank to all DoDo department heads. Day 581. March, Year 2.
After several grueling days of congressional hearings, I am pleased to announce that DoDo's budget has been approved and sent on to POTUS for signature. All DoDo staff are to be thanked for their hard work over the difficult months since the tragic and heroic demise of our friend and colleague, Les Holgate. During that span of time, DoDo has been stripped down to the bare metal, as it were, and rebuilt into a new kind of organization that we can all be proud of. New resources and responsibilities naturally bring organizational changes in their wake. Effective immediately, Dr. Roger Blevins is the overall head of the Department of Diachronic Operations, reporting directly to me, with a dotted line to Dr. Constantine Rudge at IARPA. To him we'll be reporting the heads of various sub-departments, as bulleted below. Dr. Melisande Stokes, acting head of the Diachronic Operative Resource Center. Macy Stoll, head of CCOD, Conventional Contemporary Operations Department. Dr. Frank Oda, head of research. Lieutenant Colonel Tristan Lyons, head of Diachronic Operations, which for obvious reasons will be organized and run along the lines of a military unit. With Dr. Blevins's change in status, the advisory board is reduced, at least temporarily, to one member, that being Dr. Constantine Rudge. I hope that the rest of you will join me in welcoming Ms. Stoll to the organization. Her long experience managing operational matters in various civilian and military environments will no doubt prove of enormous value to DoDo during the coming era of rapid expansion. Top-level direction on DoDo's mission will be supplied during a meeting within the next few days at the Trapezoid. Best wishes to all of you, and may God bless America. General Octavian Frank.
About me. Name, Mortimer Shore. Official title, Systems Administrator. Unofficial titles, what's his name? The tall guy with the beard, the sword geek, the IT guy. Hey, what the fuck happened to my email? Bio. Hey all, as DoDo keeps expanding, there seems to be a lot of colorful rumor floating around about how I came to work here, and so I thought I would tell the whole story. Too long didn't read. I got recruited out of a park to prevent Tristan from getting his ass kicked in a sword fight, and they found out I was a CS major. Edit. This is mostly about computers. If you are visiting this page because you are a doer and you think you might be about to get into a sword fight, scroll to the end. So, as you can probably tell from my appearance and mannerisms, I am California born and bred. My father and his father before him, worked in commercial building construction in SoCal, punching out Home Depots and parking garages and making enough money to put me in a private school when I turned out to be kind of a screw-up academically. Turned out I was just bored and over-medicated, LOL. So they cut off my Adderall and put me on the robotics team, where I made the mistake of telling them I knew how to weld, because of my dad's company. And so then I was just a welding slave for a long time until they finally let me start writing code. Long story short, I ended up at MIT doing both, which is to say metal and code. The code part of it is pretty self-explanatory. An MIT CS major can pretty much always get a job, a fact that was important to my dad, who was paying a lot of money to put me through school. As you have probably noticed if you work at Dodo, I hang out near the server room. During my first 6 months at Dodo, I spent most of my time setting up Odin, the operational Dodo intranet. If that sounds like a long time, let me just say that getting a full-featured wiki to run under Shiny Hat is no picnic. I still put out IT fires and help people with their email, etc., when not working with Dr. Oda on the Chronotron. We're recruiting more IT staff to keep our systems stable and secure, so pretty soon I'll hopefully be a full-time Chronotron geek. A word about metal. The substance, not the genre of music. Though I like both. This is the part of my story that seems to cause the maximum amount of confusion and rumor among new hires at Dodo. And so this is the part you'll want to read if you are having trouble understanding why a newly minted MIT CS major is helping people with their email for a small government agency instead of making a zillion dollars in a startup, LOL. My dad was a civil engineering major with a minor in metallurgy, and so this runs in the family. A lot of commercial buildings are made out of steel. And in California, where earthquakes are a problem, there are a lot of rules about what kinds of steel to use, how to weld it properly, etc. I picked a lot of this up through osmosis when I was a kid. And when I was doing robotics in high school and the smart kids wouldn't let me write code, I ended up doing a lot of industrial art. Robots with flamethrowers, rotating blades, etc. So, I ended up doing a double major in comp-sci and metallurgy. At this point, I could say a lot about steel. A lot. But I'm not going to. If you want to talk about steel for a long time, come by my desk with some beers, LOL. Point is, I am a steel geek. When you are a steel geek, you inevitably end up talking about swords. Sort of like when you are a climber, you end up talking about Mount Everest. I got interested in swords when I put some crappy homemade blades on one of my robots and they kept breaking slash bending, and I couldn't understand why. My interest in swords led to an interest in sword fighting. Not modern fencing, which is cool and everything, but totally different. I mean historical sword fighting with actual things that look like swords. As a freshman, I joined a LARPing group that did foam fighting on the Esplanade. But that was just a gateway drug to a real HEMA, historical European martial arts group, that fought with real steel blades, blunt, obviously, using documented historical techniques. During one of our practices, I was approached by Rebecca, East Oda, who asked me a lot of questions. Not the usual dumb questions like, is that a real sword? But like super nitty-gritty questions that clued me in something weird was going on. She took me back to her and Frank's house and NDA'd me. And like 10 minutes later, I was with Tristan teaching him the four grounds and the four governors of George Silver, the Elizabethan backsword master who hated Italian rapier fighters with an unquenchable fiery hate, LOL. Later, I found out I had passed a background check. And after I had peed in a jar and all the other stuff, I was sworn in and have been working for Dodo ever since. I guess 7 or 8 months now? I am responsible for having set up most of Dodo's basic IT infrastructure, such as the intranet, the wiki, etc. But don't hate on me because it was all supposed to be temporary, LOL. Dr. Frank Oda was also kind enough to take me under his wing and get me in on the ground floor of the Chronotron project. Disclaimer, re that. I am not a physicist, and so all of the quantum mechanics underlying the chipset of the Kipus, the quantum information processing units, is totally incomprehensible to me. All I know about it is that it runs really, really fast and solves problems that would take forever using traditional non-quantum computation. Fortunately for dumbass computer scientists like me, at one end of each Kipu unit there's a connector where you can jack in a plain old Ethernet cable. And from that point onwards, it just looks like a traditional computer, albeit a really fast and weird one, to the outside world. All of the cables from all of the Kipus, as of this writing, 128 of them, soon to be 256, feed into the Chronotron itself, which, never mind what people say about it, is just a big old computing cluster that happens to be tied into a lot of historical databases, etc., which is more my speed. In layperson's terms, if it has to be dunked in liquid helium to work, I don't understand it. If it's in a rack with fans blowing on it, that's a different story. If you are about to be in a sword fight, this comes up a lot, and I'm working on upgrading the relevant wiki pages, but people seem to end up here anyway, lol. My basic advice, don't do it. It is ridiculously, fantastically dangerous. Modern people are calibrated for a whole different level of danger acceptance. Admittedly, an unfortunate precedent was set by Tristan's getting into a rapier versus backsword duel in DTAP 1601 London. This is fully documented in the relevant after-action reports, which, as our roster of doers has expanded to include others in the fighter class, have achieved somewhat legendary status within Dodo. But this in no way suggests that sword fighting works as a standard operating procedure. If you're in the process of getting trained up to carry out a specific deed, direct engagement for diachronic effect, you'll know that each DTAP has a highly localized weapons environment. What is true in one DTAP might not be the case in another that is 50 years or 50 miles away from it. So, you have to start by knowing exactly what weapon types can be carried by an individual of your assumed social class in your DTAP without freaking people out. Since you're going back naked, you'll have to score weapons after arriving. If you're fortunate enough to be visiting a well-established node in Dodo's Witch Network, there may be some weapons waiting for you there. In my copious spare time, lol, I plan to visit those DTAPs to inspect the available weapons with the modern eye of a trained metallurgist, to check them for fatal flaws. But never mind what you've seen on the History Channel. These people really didn't know dick about steel, and so most of it is crap, and likely to break at the worst possible time. If you are breaking trail in a new DTAP, then once you have evaded pursuit and stolen some clothes, you'll have to acquire your weapons in whatever way you can, proceeding adaptively, lol. This means evaluating them through visual inspection, and if possible, by subjecting them to certain simple tests, which I can explain to you. Eventually, I'll document these on the wiki. Assuming you have a good sword, you'll have to know how to fight with it, which starts by defending yourself from the other guy, which means you have to know how he fights, which means learning the martial arts techniques prevailing in your DTAP. One day, I hope we'll have a vast library of every known historical sword fighting system. But as with so many other things at Dodo, we are just getting started, just scratching the surface. Here's what we are currently sort of good at. Late medieval backsword, a personal fave, Italian rapier, medieval longsword. Come and talk to me if you really think you need training slash instruction in these. In the meantime, it helps if you're in some kind of decent physical condition and you know where your body is in space. We've had good luck with wrestlers, circus acrobats, gymnasts, and dancers. People who spend all day looking at pixels, not so good. Stay tuned on Odin for more relevant pages as I have time to write them. Peace out, Mortimer.
Dodo White Paper. Brief Notes on Wending, formerly Super Witches, by Rebecca East Oda. Submitted to Odin Archive, Day 580.
Note to readers. Please consider this a temporary placeholder in lieu of a more thoroughly researched document to follow. I am feeling an urgency to head off the increasing use of the term super-witch and replace it with a more reasoned approach. R.E.O. K.C.W.'s Fitch, Colonial Boston, and Grania, Elizabethan London, while employing similar techniques in most respects, exhibited a marked difference in their understanding and utilization of strands. As best as we could make out, Goody Fitch had a general knowledge that multiple strands existed, sufficient for her to conduct practical magical operations. Grania, by contrast, appears to have had an additional ability that Goody Fitch didn't, and perhaps couldn't even have imagined. Namely, she had the ability to shift her stream of consciousness from one strand to another, effectively inhabiting different versions of her body on different strands. Grania jumped sideways from one to another as it suited her purposes. In this manner, she was able to encounter and re-encounter Tristan on different strands, and thereby to collaborate more mindfully and effectively with him as he repeated the same deed. Wending is a term used by Grania to describe this behavior. Elizabeth seems to be somewhere in between Fitch and Grania. She understands the concept of wending and can speak about it, but seems to consider it a little beyond the pale of normal magical practice. Further conversations will be needed to better understand her misgivings on the topic. I can think of two possible explanations. One, it is somehow dangerous or disagreeable, so Elizabeth doesn't want to do it. Or, two, Elizabeth simply lacks the required degree of magical power and skill, understandable given she came of age as magic was waning. The second hypothesis has led some within Dodo to posit the idea that Grania is a super witch, with a degree of magical power that places her head and shoulders above other witches. The super-witch concept is now beginning to influence Dodo's planning process, as some members of the staff have begun looking for others of this type. It is supposed, for example, that Winifred Dutton, 1562 Antwerp, may be another super-witch. The purpose of this document is to discourage further use of the super-witch idea, for which we really have no firm evidence yet, and instead request that Dodo staff use the terminology wending to describe the specific behavior we want. The ability to wend will undoubtedly make a known compliant witch, KCW, a more effective collaborator. And so let us seek out KCWs who know how to do it, rather than making the super witch distinction, which is not supported by evidence and which is pejorative to Elizabeth Carpathy, the one which we actually have to work with in the present day.
Diachronicle. Day 584. Early March, Year 2. In which everything expands. As Dodo expanded, the organizational hierarchy and its attendant bureaucracy evolved accordingly. It was both electric and irritating to witness a corporation blooming around us, leaving us sometimes marooned in the middle of it. I was grateful for Mortimer, the IT geek, the IT specialist, who brought a touch of whimsy to the chunks of that bureaucracy he managed. Even more grateful than I was Rebecca, whom Dodo decided to hire, given that she was frequently underfoot anyhow, not only asking lots of intelligent questions, but frequently answering them. She was also very good with Elizabeth, and that could be said about nobody else except myself, who was increasingly beleaguered with procedural developments. Once Mortimer got the intranet, Odin, up and running, it began to take up too much fucking bandwidth. A lot of my time. It also altered how we did things. Within a matter of months, Tristan and I went from being almost Siamese twins to actually seeing each other in person only at the snazzy new snack bar or the occasional lunch out.
Most of our engagement was via Odin channels. This had an odd effect on our friendship. After the electricity of first meeting, there had been a frisson between us that we never acknowledged, although it was strong enough for others to comment upon. But we certainly enjoyed it. Or, at least, I confessed to enjoying it, and to perceiving within him clues that he did as well. Then, spending so much time together, we grew accustomed to our closeness, so that we went from not quite first date to old married couple almost seamlessly. Until Odin came along. Once Tristan became just an icon on the nearest screen, I often forgot that he was a living, breathing, winsome male. And so when we would encounter each other, in the copy room, grabbing a handful of grapes, waiting for a meeting with Levins, that initial electricity, that exquisitely repressed, well, hello there, energy, erupted all over again, and never quite settled, because we were never in each other's presence continuously for quite long enough. The one exception was in early March of the second year. Tristan and I flew to D.C. for a meeting with General Frink and Dr. Rudge at the Trapezoid. I will only detail the mental takeaway, but the emotional and visceral takeaway was that I got to spend two entire plane rides alone in a private plane with a hot badass dude. With a handsome gentleman, who crossed his legs carefully when I looked at him too long, and who could make me grin inwardly. Only inwardly, I assure you. Merely by uttering my surname in a particular tone. Now that I know there will never be such plane rides again, I wish to state that despite the violation of Dodo's Baroque sexual harassment policy, it really is a fucking shame. Regrettable that we did not make better use of that privacy. But I digress. Back to the mental takeaway. Based on Oda-sensei's most recent estimates, the goal became to have a fully functioning chronotron by the end of the year, at which point we would be able to undertake formally planned deeds, Dodo's chartered purpose. Meanwhile, we would postpone any outcome-oriented missions. No more money-making gambits, etc. After the chronotron was online, we would be able to run such missions far more safely and efficiently. In the meantime, those of us on the payroll would not be idle. Do not think it, reader. As well as the office speak mumbo-jumbo to become familiar with, there were still certain diachronic jaunts it was deemed safe to undergo. Those being, first, and above all, to seek out and convert witches and other abettors, thus creating a network of known compliant witches, KCWs, and safe houses. Second, to fill in the data gaps the Chronotron noted as it was uploading digitized information from primary and secondary historical material. In other words, factoid-finding missions. What did a particular intersection in Rome look like in 44 BC? How large were daikon in pre-modern Japan? Where did George Washington sleep the night of 11th January 1779, etc.? Not only was this useful for the Chronotron data workers, but it would also help us to break in new recruits with low-stakes missions. Third, in a similar vein, to make reconnaissance missions to DTAPs we knew would be important for future work. Chief amongst these was Constantinople circa 1203, more on that in a moment, and Renaissance London, both of which would be major hubs within the KCW network. Fourth, we were free to rove for the purposes of counterintelligence, to keep an eye on potential diachronic activities of our strategic rivals. Not that the identity of those rivals had been shared with us. As to Constantinople, that jewel in the crown of the Byzantine Empire, that continent-straddling stronghold of the Eastern Orthodox Church, that famously inviolable walled city ruled by generations of interbred usurping nutjobs. A pantheon of families so tortuously intertwined as to be the basis of our modern adjective Byzantine. This was a fantastically complex city with a wide range of languages and cultures, so it was required to build up a large database, including not just linguistics, but maps, etiquette, cultural practices, weapons, and other things that our doers would need to know
in order to function in that time and place. The time being circa 1203, the Fourth Crusade. Not for the history buffs among you, the siege a few days later, or the occupation, or the final shitstorm. Destruction of the city. But Galata Tower. A lot of that research fell into my lap, in my role as head of the amusingly named Diachronic Operative Resource Center. The DNI, that would be Frank, wished to stabilize certain national and ethnic frontiers in Eastern Europe, the Balkans, and Turkey that had begun to show considerable glamour, an indication that someone else might be conducting diachronic operations in an effort to shift them. Between Erzsébet's iPad Kipu, her IQ, as it were, and Frank Oda tapping into the elemental Kipus of the Chronotron, we were able to calculate backwards that our best counteraction was to move a particular Orthodox relic from one tent to another in the Byzantine Emperor's army camp when his army fled from the Crusaders after the siege of Galata Tower. Regarding the developments of the Witch Network, as well as Constantinople 1203, we also sought KCWs in a range of intermediate eras and locations where we perceived it would be easier for us to conduct operations. Or, as I might have said before I learned to talk the talk, do things. New ODEX were being built, but as we had only one witch, who was temperamental on the best of days, we had to leverage, General Frink's term, Erzsébet, by having her send doers to familiar locations. Pre-1851 safe houses, where we had KCWs who could then forward our agents onward through the network. The trunk line of the network, so to speak, was to be anchored at one end in 1203 Constantinople, and on the other in 1602 London, where we had re-established connections with Grania and her friend Rose. Thanks to Rose's intercession, we now had access to a secure safe house on the outskirts of the city, equipped with clothes, weapons, and other doer resources. The other major stop on the line needed to be Antwerp circa 1560, for reasons beyond the scope of this narrative. I had attempted to cultivate a relationship there with one Winifred Dutton, an English witch resident in that detap. Knowing her own worth, she had admirably influential family relations and appeared capable of wending. She was standoffish toward my initial queries. Eventually, she decided she would assist us in exchange for a certain hard-to-find herb known as Kalonji. Rather conveniently for us, Kalonji grew in profusion in the palace garden of Blaherne, in 13th century Constantinople.
Post by Dr. Roger Blevins to Dr. Melisande Stokes on Private Odin Channel, 1532-37. Day 584, early March, year 2.
Dr. Stokes.
Post by Dr. Roger Blevins to Dr. Melisande Stokes on Private Odin Channel, 1532-59. Day 584, early March, year 2.
Dr. Stokes.
Post by Dr. Roger Blevins to Dr. Melisande Stokes on Private Odin Channel, 1533-07. Day 584, early March, year 2.
Dr. Stokes.
Post by Dr. Roger Blevins to Dr. Melisande Stokes on Private Odin Channel, 1552-34. Day 584, early March, year 2.
Dr. Stokes, disregard previous posts. I had to find Mortimer Shore on the roof of the building engaging in what appeared to be a sword duel, and get him to explain to me the proper usage in the modern world of what I call the return, and he denominates the enter key. I'm losing track of the different types of doers. Could I trouble you or Lieutenant Colonel Lyons to post a canonical taxonomy? Cordially, Roger.
Dodo Memorandum. Canonical Taxonomy of Diachronic Operative Types by Lieutenant Colonel Tristan Lyons. Posted 02-11-59. 45, day 585.
For clarity in internal communication and record keeping, please employ these terms and these terms only when referring to different types or categories of doers. If you think of some other new category that needs to be added, please see me or Dr. Stokes before editing this list. Forerunner. Deprecated synonyms, suicide bomber, dead man running, Schneider. One who is sent to a DTAP in which Dodo has no known compliant witch, safe house, or other contacts slash infrastructure whatsoever. Considered the most elite and difficult to recruit subclass of doer, Forerunners must possess all the skills of a strider, see below, combined with those of a fighter, lover, or closer. Fighter. Deprecated synonyms, Conan, warrior. One who specializes in missions where, to put it politely, martial attributes are of the essence. Since every DTAP has a unique environment surrounding weapons, fighting styles, and martial culture, competence in fighting is only a part of the skill set required to be a successful fighter. It is equally important to know how and when to fight. Lover. Deprecated synonyms, redacted. Seems self-explanatory. But to counter some misconceptions, actually having sex is not part of the job description. We prefer to focus on the unique combination of personal charm, appearance, and social skills needed to influence historical decision-makers who have been identified as libido-motivated. Closer. A new category best described as lover without the carnal element. One who is highly skilled at changing someone's mind without hurting or seducing them. Strider. Deprecated synonyms, snake eater. Wilderness survival expert. Spy. Specialist in stealthy, unobtrusive observation and, since we can't bring notes slash sketches home with us, memorization. Sage. Subject matter expert, such as a historian or linguist, sent to a DTAP to investigate a specific question of interest to Dodo. MacGyver. Typically a biologist, chemist, materials scientist, or engineer with exceptional aptitude for building devices, concocting medicines, etc., using natural and man-made substances available in a given DTAP. Medic. Medical professional with additional training required for practice in pre-modern conditions. A final note, the above are not mutually exclusive. More often than not, a given doer will fit into more than one of these categories.
Post by Lieutenant Colonel Tristan Lyons on Recruiting, Odin Channel. Day 620, early April, Year 2.
As has been noted repeatedly by Dr. Blevins and others higher up the chain of command, recruitment of doers has proceeded more slowly than we would like. Finding people with the right combination of security clearance, skill set, and physical attributes is a very demanding challenge. I've lost track of the number of promising candidates we've had to reject because of dental work alone. As Dork continues to stav up new HOSMAs, historical operations subject matter authorities, and trainers, we'll increasingly be able to grow our own doers by selecting promising candidates and training them in the requisite languages and skills. We've already seen progress in that area with new HOSMAs coming online almost daily, specializing in the languages and cultures of late medieval Europe and the Byzantine Empire. But a doer can only learn a language so fast. In the meantime, we are therefore going to have to rely on a small number of extremely exceptional people who just happen to walk in the door with all the capabilities we need. Needles in a very large haystack. Fortunately, General Frink and Dr. Rudge have been active in connecting us to the existing recruitment network that the United States government and its allies have established in the military and intelligence sectors, giving us broader access to the aforementioned haystack, and enabling us to search through it more efficiently. I'm pleased to announce that today we have signed our first two doer recruits, Hira Lajani and Felix Dorn. Both were recruited specifically with an eye towards the upcoming Kalanji deeds, which, as you all know, is the linchpin of our plan for establishing a really solid safe house in 1562 Antwerp. because of her unusual linguistic skill set, we also believe that Hera will be Dodo's pathfinder in 1200 Constantinople, which is projected to be the focal point of many diachronic operations in the first year or two of Dodo's operations. Hera and Felix came to us through very different recruitment pathways. Hera first came to the attention of U.S. intelligence talent scouts active in the Syrian refugee community. Considered too physically conspicuous for conventional intelligence work, she was brought to our attention as someone fitting the lover profile. Felix, by contrast, is an old friend and mentor of mine, whom I recruited over a beer. Their dossiers are available on the Odin system for those of you curious to know more about our newest colleagues. Please join me in making Hera and Felix feel welcome in the Department of Diachronic Operations. Tristan.
Dodo Human Resources. Personnel Dossier. Family Name, Lajani. Given Names, Hera Yazin. Aliases, Sil. Age, 24. Class, Lover. Height, 5 feet 3 inches. Eyes, brown. Hair, brown. Complexion, medium olive. Distinctive features, mole near left clavicle. Ethnicity, Kurd. Nationality, Syrian. Language fluency ratings, Kurdish, 5. English, Zaza Gurani, Turkish, 4. Farsi, Syrian, and Iranian Arabic, 3. Bulgarian, Greek, 2. Note. Following immersive training in medieval Hebrew as preparation for Kalonji deed, subject scored 2.5 fluency rating in that language. However, the score is at best speculative, given our uncertain knowledge base. Religion, non-observant Muslim. Citizenship, stateless, being fast-tracked for U.S. citizenship. Biography. Upper middle-class secular Muslim from Kobani, Ain al-Arab, at the age of 16, lived in United States, Issaquah, Washington, for 9 months as part of a foreign exchange program. Attended Cornell University. Psychology major, dance minor. Dropped out in sophomore year when parents publicly decapitated by IS forces. Pretended to be ISIS sympathizer on social media, flew to Istanbul, traveled overland to border region with intention of crossing Syrian border. En route, fell in with and entered into sexual relationship with male MI6 agent also masquerading as ISIS recruit. With him, crossed border into Syria and returned to Kobani to protect younger sister, 15, and brother, 13. During subsequent military operations, escaped from Kobani with her siblings and crossed back into Turkey, made way overland to Bodrum, crossed over to Greek island of Kos in inflatable boat, joined refugee community on Kos. There recognized the body language of American Dodo recruiter who was posing as a refugee, approached him. Her story cross-checked with accounts on file from the MI6 agent, agreed to work for Dodo in exchange for her and her siblings being fast-tracked for American citizenship. Skill set. Besides languages above and keen assessment of body language above, extremely fit, hardy, able to stay calm in high stress and physically challenging circumstances, dancer, modern, jazz, belly dance, history and affect suggests aptitude for emotional, psychological persuasiveness and manipulation. Well-spoken with broad Western-style liberal arts education, appealing face and figure by most cultures' metrics. Limitations. Minimal self-defense or martial arts experience. Incapable of being inconspicuous or subtle, even when wearing burqa. Do not send on missions requiring stealth or delicate negotiations. Comfortable in cosmopolitan and suburban settings, rural and slum settings, not so good. Dodo Human Resources, Personnel Dossier. Family name, Dorn. Given names, Felix, John. Aliases, N.A. Age, 31. Class, Strider. Height, 5 feet 9 inches.